My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, a podcast where I, your host, try to give you some tips on how you can explain all this weird, wild, crazy conspiracy stuff to the people you love most. Because that's what I've been trying to do for the past 10 years with no success. I've been telling everybody that our government is shady, but every time I do, my family thinks I'm crazy. The hollow earth, UFOs, aliens, and painting. And they don't want to hear it. They're just like, oh, here we go, Mark. Off again with your...
Mark being Mark again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's the thing about podcasts is when you're on the air, and it's like therapy, you know? If I can't talk to my family about this stuff, I'll talk to you, Matt, and all our listeners.
You know, just tell your whole podcast.
Yeah. So who are we talking about today, Matt?
Black boots marching, you know, up the main boulevard and the, you know, the Sieg Heil salute of the Nazis. It's really very simply the merger of corporate and state power, where the state is used to profit corporations and corporations write the laws that govern and control a population. And that's something that fascist dictator Benito Mussolini in Italy in the 1920s is quoted as saying, if you didn't want to call it fascism, you could just call it corporatism, because it's the merger of corporate and state power. And we have had that in the United States, arguably, for over 100 years in fits and starts. And back then, up until the 1960s, there was a great tug of war about that. But after they killed Kennedy in 63, you really see the levers of power exclusively held by the giant corporate and banking interests who are ruining this country and the world for the sake of the elite who are growing richer and richer and richer, and who seem to be preparing to pull the trigger slowly or suddenly on horrific events to really, really kill a lot of us, lock down a lot of us in the name of different fears, like either climate change or food riots or the polarization between the left and the right in the United States, or maybe an alien adventure, invasion. Everything's on the table. And these are horrifying. If you're a mainstream believer and you're hearing this kind of conversation, you're justified in being horrified. And yet, I assure you that when you read enough history, you see, no, this is what always happens. This is what always happens. And it's just our turn. It's not personal. And courage is the only thing that's going to determine our happiness.
You just heard today's guest, author, podcast host, and activist, who joins me, Mystic Mark, here on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy this conversation with my friend, Bruce DeTorres. Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. I'm your host, Mystic Mark, and joining me is a returning guest, an old friend who's been on the show a couple times, at least twice, maybe three. This is most likely the third time, but I'm not keeping count. We've had almost 500 or 550 episodes at this point. So, you know, we're climbing our way to the top. And Bruce DeTauris, my good friend, is back on the show. Bruce, every time we talk, I get a warm feeling. And, you know, you have this golden radio voice, so there's warmth in the room when a podcast that you're guesting on is playing. You are a part of the Trine Day team, so to speak. And, yeah, what's going on, Bruce? It's a pleasure to have you back on the show. We've talked about your work in the past, and I think I reached out because I thought, it's been too long since I've talked to Bruce. So what's been going on in your world?
Well, I'll tell you, but first, congratulations on 550 episodes and just doing the show for this many years. The average business collapses and goes out of business. Like 50% of new businesses fail in the first year or the first 2 or 3 years. And after most businesses, 80-90% of new businesses are out of business after the first 3 to 4 years. So to do anything as long as you've been doing this, it's really a testimony to your determination, and also your curiosity to keep learning from the people that you interview, but also your determination to create value for your fellow human beings, and you are to be commended. And it's an honor to know you at that level, let alone how nice and friendly and open-hearted and big-hearted that you are, just as a friend.
Well, thank you, Bruce. I appreciate it. As much as I'd love to take the opportunity to talk about myself, I would like to know what's going on in your world still.
Sure. After 4.5 years doing marketing for Chris at TrineDay.com, books that challenge official history, I took a new job at the American Small Business League and moved out to California earlier this year, and it's a mission near and dear to my heart because it's about exposing a major fraud that the federal government is perpetrating by giving most of its contracts to big businesses, including most of the contracts that are supposed to go to small businesses. And people can learn all about that at ASBL.com. So, Mark, I moved from New Jersey out here to California earlier this year, a little above San Francisco. And it's, you never know when a big adventure is going to show up. You're muted, Mark.
Oh yeah, please. I will realize that, and it will save me time editing if we all just sit and wait for me to fumble and figure it out. But yeah, sorry about that. I'm very curious about the nature of this new venture, and I'd like you to elaborate more on this, how the government is giving these contracts, or rather certain corporations priority when it comes to these contracts. I'm very curious about that. What's going on with that?
Every year, the federal government is supposed to steer 23% of all its contracts to small businesses. And every year it says, hey, we did it. Hey, we even exceeded the goal. How about that? And this organization has found for decades, through many, many lawsuits and legal victories and congressional investigations, that it's a shell game. In reality, small businesses really probably get 3 or 4% of those contracts. And small businesses are 99% of all businesses in the country. So that means 0.1% of the businesses are getting 95, 96, 97% of the federal contract budget, which is a direct violation of the law since 1953, the Small Business Act. And when enough people know this and complain to their representatives and senators, we hope that they will clean house, they will expose this nonsense and they will do what it takes to make the federal agencies give small business contracts to small businesses, because they report, oh, we gave them to small businesses, but they very often don't report the names of the businesses. So you can't confirm that those contracts went to small businesses. It's exciting. It's frustrating. It's infuriating. And it's just one more example of how the federal government has been captured by giant corporations. And, you know, pick your poison, pick your battle. You know, there's a lot at stake at this because of the great economic boom that would occur. If small businesses got those contracts, Mark, they would create millions of jobs. Yeah. The big businesses who get those contracts, they don't create one new job. They're already big. So there's tons at stake.
Sorry, I clicked the wrong button there. Yeah, I see the stakes are very high, especially at the rate that jobs are being exported to foreign countries, right? I mean, you know, it seems like the companies that are in that top earning bracket are also, you know, causing a lot of harm, not only to the American economy, but to the planet at large. You know, in many ways, not just in the obvious environmental pollution and, you know, all the things that come with exporting and importing, you know, I mean, imagine all the saved money if we didn't have to ship it across the ocean.
Yeah. And, you know, imagine if enough Americans woke up to this and if we were able to clean house about this, a lot of other corruptions and subterfuges would get cleaned out as well. And the stakes are really high. The stakes are really high. You know, the honesty and accountability that our federal government doesn't stick to for us is hurting us in all these ways, in all the ways of the nonsense wars, and all the abuse of the planet at the hands of our military, of all the saber rattling and all the constant fear they want to keep us in. This is a really tangible economic, you know, where the rubber kind of hits the road, because it's depriving us out of our wallets of a prosperity that we deserve.
Right. Well, and it feels like it's the military behind it in many ways, with the emphasis that most of these top earning corporations have on, you know, this sort of interdependency between the military and the government. You know, I'm sure we can list a couple industries that we know are guilty of, you know, manipulating laws and, you know, coercing politicians to do favors for them. But, you know, you mentioned they don't have to name the small businesses that they're giving money to. Do they also not have to name these big businesses that they're giving money to?
Well, that's just it. They don't accurately report the businesses who get their contracts. They just right. generically say, on this particular contract, we met the goal of giving, you know, 23% of it to small businesses, but they don't report the name of the businesses.
Right.
And they give you some generic reason like, well, we have to keep that anonymity because it helps us be competitive if we actually but they used to give the names until the guy who started our organization, Lloyd Chapman, started winning these legal victories. Yeah.
Wow. Now, and the phrase that comes to mind is follow the money, right? So is there any investigative work being done to figure out where this money is going? Or are there any likely culprits, the corporations that seem to be maybe behind the lobbying that got this stuff the way it is today, to the state that it is now?
The giant military contractors, and you were very astute in laying a lot of the blame at the feet of the military, because that's dead right, because you heard federal budget and you know what a huge portion of the federal budget goes to the military. And most of our legal victories have been against the Pentagon. And not only have we won over 100 such freedom of information legal victories that in court revealed, oh, These small business contracts went to these big businesses. Since the 1990s, dozens of congressional investigations have found the same thing. And also, the Inspector General Office at the SBA, the Small Business Administration, has found the same thing. And that's the agency that is responsible for making sure that 23% of all federal contract dollars go to small businesses. And they are the ones who baloney us by saying every year, we met the goal, we exceeded the goal, aren't we great? When in reality, the federal government is doing next to nothing for the 99.9% of all businesses in America, Mark, that are small businesses, next to nothing. No matter what the president says, no matter what the SBA has a photo op at a factory in Colorado and they talk about the loans, oh, the loans, oh, the government shutdown is harming the companies that are waiting for the loans to come through. They want to give us the impression that they're flooding small businesses with loans, or they would if only the government wasn't shut down for year after year after year. The SBA loans, you don't hear about it. The SBA and the federal contracts that small businesses should learn about and learn how to apply for, because this is how bad it is. Only 1 or 2% of the country's 36 million small businesses get an SBA-backed loan. 1 or 2%, like around 300,000, maybe less than 300,000 a year. And of all the businesses that could apply for federal contracts, only 0.2% of small businesses get a federal contract out of 36 million. That's the grip for decades that the giant corporations, largely the defense contractors, have had on the federal government. And we're talking about an annual budget expenditures between $800 billion and $1.3, $1.5 trillion. They fudged that figure to not let us see how much the government buys. But even at $800 billion, the federal government is the largest purchaser of goods and services on the planet. It buys everything under the sun, not just tanks, not just the things that the big military contractors have to make, but office equipment, vehicles, insurance, property, warehousing, human resources, everything that serves, you know, their humongous workforce. It's just one of the most giant ripoffs, just like the income tax, just like the military budget in and of itself. You know, it's my kind of thing. This is my meat and potatoes. I love this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I can see why you're drawn to these types of challenges, and definitely based on the nature of your book, it feels like you have a big task at hand and maybe the convictions to do it. But I'm very curious, as far as, you know, small businesses concerned, what is the measure of a small business? Because, you know, I can think of a couple local businesses that don't seem small, but they also make steel. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you're producing steel, there's a lot of applications for that that might be military, you know? So again, it seems like there's a sort of interdependency that's been created where, and I don't know if those are shell companies or what have you, but it seems like there's enough interdependency, just enough so that it doesn't become a monopoly. But really, that's all it is. It's just a monopoly of, you know, many different shells, so to speak. And they're just all one big, what do you call it? Some kind of Russian word, the dolls, dolls. You know, it just sort of gives me that feeling, you know, when we talk about how this money is being filtered up to the biggest companies. It's like, Obviously they have their lobbyists, they have their politicians, they're manipulating the legislative bodies of the government. But I also am curious, like, how many small businesses end up in the fold of a giant corporation, like they just get consumed by it, so to speak. I
Yeah,
mean,
again, you have well intuited a great way to describe it. It's a wilderness of mirrors, and every machination that you just alluded to is being used because there's countless federal agencies, countless contracts, and countless ways that they do, for instance, acquire a small business that just got a federal contract that is going to last for 5 or 7 years. So as soon as that small business with that small business contract gets bought, there ought to be annual recertification that it's still a small business. If it's suddenly a subsidiary of a global giant, it really shouldn't keep that contract. That small business contract shouldn't make profits for the company that acquired it for the next 5, 7, 10 years or whatever it is. So you're absolutely right about what a tangled ball of yarn that it is, how many dolls are embedded in other in bigger dolls. And that's part of the log jam of getting enough interest or heat on the topic, holding enough politicians' feet to the fire that they would take this on. But we can't take it lying down. It's a great thread to pull to unravel the whole garment of corruption. And you alluded to, a local business that makes steel, sure. And maybe the government officially says, a small business has up to 500 employees. We think that's ridiculous because 98% of all companies in America have less than 100 employees. The average company has 4 to 6 employees. The vast majority of small businesses are just the owner. They are non-employer firms. And they all should know about the federal contracts they could apply for. And if you own a salon or you're an auto mechanic and you're a small business and you think, I don't care about this, I'll never apply for a federal contract. Wait a minute. If you helped the government give small business contracts to the small businesses who can apply and do the work for the government, it would create millions of jobs throughout the country. And the odds are every single community, town, village, and city would experience the economic boom of 2 to 3 million new jobs being created every year, Mark, on top of the more or less 2 million jobs that are naturally created, most of them by small businesses. So it's a pressure point that, is worth banging a drum about and saying, hey, look at this. So folks can learn about it at our site, ASBL.com, American Small Business League, ASBL.com, and a lot more at a site we created called don'tcheatwomen.com, don'tcheatwomen.com, which explains why the 5% goal of contracts to women-owned small businesses ought to be raised to 15%. Women are half the population. They own 40% of all businesses, and the law says they're supposed to get 5% of the federal contracts. But in reality, because of all the subterfuge and confusion I've described, women-owned businesses really probably get around 1%. And that's just ridiculous because they sell what the government buys. They employ over 12 million people. There are over 14 million businesses owned by women, and they generate almost $3 trillion in revenue every single year. So don'tcheatwomen.com explains all this about this whole small business issue, and it's got a page called What You Can Do, where you can see how to easily click and find how to contact your two senators and your representative and the White House and say, what the heck's going on?
And I think we've been led to believe that you need some sort of government agency or nonprofit or some sort of, I don't know, just a alternative sort of type of organization to create change. But a small business or a community thriving with small businesses can do so much more than activists can, I think. And not that we don't need activists, but I feel like, you know, to change what America is suffering from, it's going to take a lot more than activism. It's going to take community orientated values where, you know, the lines that are dividing us, whether that, you know, is a superficial line or maybe it's a behavioral line, you know, like the unhoused, as we're supposed to call them now, or the drug addled, you know, there's a division there. You know, I've made the choice to live a life where I'm not on the streets and suffering from drug addiction, but I'm also maybe not in the place where I've been traumatized, abused, or left in the circumstances where that might have been easy for me to latch onto. But either way, there's a difference between me and my neighbor, even though, you know, we both live in the same town. One is unhoused, one is housed. And, you know, if there were more small businesses, wouldn't those folks have a little bit more in that community? And maybe just that abundance would allow for, you know, a little bit more charity at the very least. I'm not saying that these unhoused people are going to all just turn around and, you know, wash their face and all of a sudden they're employed or employable. But it seems like we're living in a situation where people are stuck in a scarcity mindset, and generosity and charity have become virtues that you flaunt rather than ways to live your life, you know. And maybe that has more to do with social media than government, but it just feels like what you're tackling here with the Small Business League, the ASBL, right? The American Small Business League, ASBL.
Yes.
It seems like what you guys are tackling is maybe the form of activism that we're like, where real change is being made, you know?
Yeah. And even, I'll still call it homelessness, is a symptom of many things, but at the root of it, I like to, you know, let's discuss this as a possible cure. You know, to diagnose the problem accurately, what's the problem? In large part, it's the powerlessness that so many of us feel. Well, if we're lucky enough to have a home, the odds are we're living paycheck to paycheck and maybe have two jobs, and we barely can pay attention to current events. And also, we are the, you know, the fourth or fifth or sixth generation, maybe three or four generations at the least, who have been dumbed down and disempowered to think that the government is capable of working for us or doing any good. So we're completely detached from the idea of America. So that, if that's the problem, and I do believe it is, and I'm groping for reasons to be cheerful and where's the hope, I can only report what I know from history, which is that if or when enough of us consider that the problem is that we don't know what we're supposed to be under the Constitution. We don't know that we are supposed to pedal the bike pedals of the Constitution to make it work. We are supposed to harass our representatives to work for us and not implement 70 years, at least 64 years or 62 years of policies, Mark, that are destroying us body, mind, and spirit, and economically. So there's been a full spectrum assault on our freedom and our ability to prosper, on our ability to be sane and to earn a living. We're going in bad directions. So maybe the first thing is to do what this fellow John Bush and Derek Brose, look these names up, folks, if you don't know them. They've got this whole breakaway and thrive, drop out and thrive teachings and examples that they are of forming your own communities on land that you owner can control and grow your own food and turn your back completely on the mainstream official institutions of power, the media and the government. Because life's short, you have to fall in love while you're young and raise kids while you're young and strong so that when you're old and decrepit, you have some kids who could take care of you. I get that. But for those of us who are still plugged into the system and serving these death cults, these cults that are sickening us, the whole society of, you know, medicine. I know I'm doing the whole fire hose here of the whole kitchen sink, but I'm going to wrap this up quick, Mark. Hang in there. You know, it's for the... Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. You know, I still get very, very inspired by what we're supposed to be. And also, I like hammering it because if I stopped talking about it and everybody stopped talking about what were we supposed to be and what were we doing, what kind of representatives did we have when we thrived, if we stop talking about that and pointing to that, it'll really be gone with the wind and lost in the fog of memory, and no one will, and with it will go the chance to fight, to fix things and improve things, to reassert our rights, to demand our rights be honored under the Constitution, and to throw people into office who also want to work for our freedom, our health, our freedom to earn a living, our freedom to make our own medical choices, our freedom to grow our own food, our freedom to experiment and try all kinds of remedies, not just the legally, you know, enforced ones. I know you get the whole picture I'm painting here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, this is a part of the shift that is going to take waking up, you know,
and your pause, and you, for folks meeting me for the first time, you mentioned my book. I want to say where to get it. It's called God School, 9/11 and JFK, The Lies That Are Killing Us and the Truth That Sets Us Free. And the reason it relates to all this is because it's chapter and verse about how we got to where we are, and it points to good things that we could do. It's a great primer for folks who want to get up to speed about all these things, especially if they still sound like, oh, that's conspiracy theory, paranoid nonsense. Well, read all about my book at brucedetouris.com. Homepage is amazing reviews about it. And see if you want to get it to get up to speed about all these things. Because I hope also that I steer people to reasons to be cheerful. Really, really empowering works and books and current writers and researchers who are talking about the good things and the optimistic things, the wonderful thing about the things about life and existence.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back in action with Gold Main Street. That's right, I'm telling you, Gold Main Street, your number one source for live rosin. If you're interested in some of the highest quality THC products, Gold Main Street is your new best friend. They've got, like I said, solventless rosin. This is the purest form of THC. This is as medical cannabis gets on a recreational scale. You can buy some no matter what your ailments are. You're completely healthy, completely sick. Live rosin will do the trick. Use the promo code CRAZY at checkout, and we love Gold Main Street. Check them out. Next up, we've got Vibe Med X. That's right, Vibe Med X, your number one Sheila Jeet supplier. Get yourself some Sheila Jeet today with Vibe Med X. It's an adaptogenic substance that is really going to round out your diet. Whatever you're taking as far as supplements, there's a good chance that Sheila Jeet might do all those tasks, but better. Whatever your supplements are doing, Sheila Jeet's going to do that and more because it's an adaptogen. So do the research. Look up my friend Ron in the interview we've done together and consider using the promo code CRAZY when buying yourself some Sheila Jeet. I'd say do it immediately. All right. Next up, we've got my good friends at BrainSupreme.co. Brain Supreme, your microdosing team. They will teach you everything, all of it, everything and all of it whatever it is that you need to know about microdosing, and they'll supply you the magic mushrooms to do it. So enjoy. Use responsibly. Use the promo code CRAZY, brainsupreme.co. And that's it. We'll be back to the show, folks. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. And we'll be right back after this quick break to our dynamic ads. Thank you all. Alright, folks, this ad is for the men in the audience 30 and up, so skip ahead if that's not you. Alright, guys, listen, don't be ashamed if you can't keep it up in bed. Maybe you're smoking too much pot or drinking too much liquor. If that's not holding you back, there might be another issue. It could be something that you're being prescribed and it's causing dysfunctional erections. Well, that's no good. We don't want you suffering from that. Hims is here to help. Their over-the-counter product might be the stealthy solution to your cock confusion. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments, all from the comfort and privacy of your couch. Hims provides access to a range of doctor-trusted ED treatments, such as chewable hard mints, proven treatments like Viagra and Cialis, or their generics for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. You don't have to visit a doctor. Just answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option for you. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free. No insurance needed. Pay one low price for your treatments online and start your free online visit today at hims.com/crazy. That's hims.com/crazy for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/crazy. The products mentioned are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Check out Hims and use my code CRAZY for a great deal. www.hims.com. Folks, it's that time of year. You're thinking about your loved ones. You're thinking about showing up to that holiday party with the right gift. And that can be harder and harder and harder with everybody's algorithms serving them something different. So Uncommon Goods is here. They've got gifts by genre. I'm talking anything you can imagine. You got sports people in your family, any sport from recreation to professional sports. We're talking wellness products from sleep and relaxation to self-care, CBD, fitness and recreation. They've got history gifts, technology gifts, science gifts, engineering and math gifts, geography gifts for the teenagers and the young at heart. Games and puzzles. There's stuff for animal lovers and people who get crazy in the kitchen, whether it's with food or cocktails. Seriously, folks, Uncommon Goods. You can go crazy at Uncommon Goods and use the promo code CRAZY. Go to uncommongoods.com/crazy. Get something cool. Tell me about it. Mystic Mark, seal of approval. I love it. Uncommon Goods. com/crazy. My family thinks I'm crazy. Family, let me tell you about my favorite, my personal favorite cannabis, Mood, M-O-O-D, created in 2002 as an online source for 100% federally legal cannabis grown on small pesticide-free American farms. Listen, folks, this is the good stuff made in America. Their gummies are action-packed, okay? I've had all the gummies. None of them are the same. The Sleep Time gummies mixed with my Raw Optics red lenses, I'm in bed in 10 minutes. No hangover, no grogginess. I wake up like that. Whew. Jumping out of my bed, standing up straight, and taking on my day. It's incredible. Try it out today. Use the promo code CRAZY and you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code CRAZY. Let's go, folks. Let's do it. All right. My family thinks I'm crazy. I'm in the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy mood.
Yeah, it's an interesting time to be involved in all these topics, for sure. I feel like it's more divisive than ever, really. For worse and for better, everyone's a conspiracy theorist in some ways, you know? I mean, do you get that sense sometimes these days, Bruce?
Yes, to the extent that everyone, a huge part of the mainstream or public conversation is nobody knows what to believe because there's 1,000 different voices and interpretations being fire hosed at us. And I submit that that's part of a giant psyop. That is a goal in and of itself, to have us so confused about, I don't know what to believe, I don't know who's telling the truth. The next step is to shut down, shut off, and say, therefore, I don't care. And that's the victory of the tyrants when they get us into that state, because then your joy of life is gone. Then one can justify addictions to pornography, video games, drugs, alcohol, violence, sneakiness, crime, cheating people, cheating on people, and then ultimately suicide. And all those things have been rising for decades. And then with the nightmare of what they inflicted on us with COVID, it's gone through the roof, these things. So it's urgent each one of us thinks about this question. What do I want to feel? And Uncle Bruce says, imagine that you want to be happy. And then imagine everybody would like to be happy. And then think about, what does it take for you to be happy? And it's about controlling your own thoughts. It's about turning off all that wants to terrify and freak us out.
Yeah. Yeah, Bruce, I think you are on to something, and you're reminding me of why I love having you on this show. I think, yeah, it's about time people wake up. But again, it seems like there is a Stockholm syndrome that has really polarized both sides to different degrees. You know, there's one side that says, you know, we're heading towards fascism. And then there's another side that says essentially the same thing, just with a different way of dressing up the word fascism, but it's essentially both sides are seeming to fear the same thing.
Well, yeah, and that's because the signs of authoritarianism are more blatant, especially since COVID. But they really got obvious after 9/11 and the Department of Homeland Security and the USA Patriot Act, and people were sounding the alarm even before that, really since the 1960s, and the real, you know, political, you know, and historical researchers try to remind folks, listen, fascism doesn't mean tanks in the street and black boots marching, you know, up the main boulevard and the, you know, the Sieg Heil salute of the Nazis. It's really very simply the merger of corporate and state power, where the state is used to profit corporations and corporations write the laws that govern and control a population. And that's something that fascist dictator Benito Mussolini in Italy in the 1920s is quoted as saying, If you didn't want to call it fascism, you could just call it corporatism, because it's the merger of corporate and state power. And we have had that in the United States, arguably, for over 100 years in fits and starts. And back then, up until the 1960s, there was a great tug of war about that. But after they killed Kennedy in 63, you really see the levers of power exclusively held by the giant corporate and banking interests who are ruining this country and the world for the sake of the elite who are growing richer and richer and richer, and who seem to be preparing to pull the trigger slowly or suddenly on horrific events to really, really kill a lot of us, lock down a lot of us in the name of different fears, like either climate change or food riots or the polarization between the left and the right in the United States, or maybe an alien adventure, invasion. Everything's on the table. And these are horrifying. If you're a mainstream believer and you're hearing this kind of conversation, you're justified in being horrified. And yet, I assure you that when you read enough history, you see, no, this is what always happens. This is what always happens. And it's just our turn. It's not personal. And courage is the only thing that's going to determine our happiness. We have to tell ourselves we are adults who can handle the truth. And it's just like in an airplane. They teach you, put your oxygen mask on first before you put it on your child's. We have to calm ourselves down and say, I got this. You know, the future of the human race depends on me getting through this. So I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to nurture and encourage others to think and practice also getting through this by working or dabbling or working on all the solutions that we can find for ourselves.
Yeah. Well, and that's the major question that comes to mind when I'm listening to you. It's like, what do you do in the face of all this stuff? Like, what do you recommend people do? Because I feel like my reaction to all this usually baffles both normie and person who's listening to my show. I think my approach of pacifism, philosophical pacifism, is what I'm trying to go for. I don't know. I feel like the less I think about it, the better my life gets. And I don't know if that's because I had a negative relationship with some of this information for a while, but I do feel empowered the more I step away from certain types of media. Not all media. Having some media in my diet is essential to this job, but yeah, it feels like the solution is within, and I'm curious what that solution looks like for you.
It's the same. I spend as much time as I can, moment by moment of every single day, protecting my inner state, my emotional state, my cheerfulness. So that explains our affinity for each other, Mark. Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Well, and that's the thing, is there's a certain approach to life that I've taken on. I know it's not unique to me, but it definitely inspires others. It doesn't always work out the way it has for me, for them. But yeah, I guess that's why I'm curious, you know, if you had any advice too for those out there who are listening and maybe wondering why we make it look so easy, Bruce.
I would suggest two things. Devour a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Came out in the 1930s. It's never been out of print. How to Win Friends and Influence People. Because if you are shy, if anyone is shy, it's a great, great new perspective of how to have and enjoy conversations with other people in order to do the second thing, which is to start conversations about these kind of things. Because if we go down the drain, it's going to be because people are too many people are terrified, and they're reacting like children, and they're being inspired to violence and acts of desperation. And it's only people who can act like concerned parents, not only to themselves, but to their friends and to their families and to their circles, who can help calm someone down and talk them, you know, off the ledge if they're at the breaking point, if they're freaking out about how, all the horrible things that are going on in the country and in the world and what the chances of the future are. I hope those made sense.
No, you're making sense, Bruce. You're making sense. And I'm curious if this leads us into what you mentioned in the notes that we that you submitted before the show, when I asked every guest in the submission form, you know, what are you working on lately? You wrote consciousness and the nature of reality. So where does this tie into your endeavors with the American Small Business League? I mean, obviously we've talked about this and the ramifications of your personal philosophy, your thoughts on everything from JFK to 9/11 to now. But yeah, I'm just curious, you know, with this ever-changing world that we're in, as far as how you view the nature of reality in terms of, again, like this perspective that you're sharing with us.
I love to imagine this is a dream that we're having, that we are eternal souls or emanations of the one soul. And that's after a lifetime of, you know, asking the questions anybody asks, you know, what's going on, starting with, you know, your personal experience of religion. What happens after we die? Have you ever seen a ghost? Are there such things as ghosts? How well read are you? How much history, poetry, poems, biographies have you read? How aware are you of the centuries worth of stories about the mystical and the magical? How many near-death experience stories have you heard or listened to? Or what experiences have you had in the middle of the night? What ghosts have you seen? All marked to make the point that to indulge the idea that this is something of a game that we're playing, and that our spirits and souls are eternal, that seems to be the wisdom of the ages that does not get destroyed century after century after century, that gets reaffirmed by the coincidences that so many people have, so many people rely on, look for, delight in. And if no one has ever had anything at all about these things, the advice is just to work on your own happiness and just see the effect that your own thoughts and interpretations and habits, it's, you might be helping or hindering you, you know, you creating successful relationships and outcomes with people. Or do you always have the same kind of conflicts because you have habits that automatically kick in and make you respond this way or that, that contributes to the tension and the drama and the conflicts and the never-ending frustration with people? All to take 100% responsibility, Mark, for being here. That's the grounding, that's the bottom line of a strong spiritual idea. I'm not saying belief. I'm saying idea as if, like, it's a toy, like, play with it. Spend a day, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 2 decades, the rest of your life, playing with the idea that when we die, it's like the curtain goes up and like, oh, we see what was always around us anyway. And to equip people along these lines, there's a YouTube channel with amazing videos about these kind of things. It's called Anthony Cheen Production. Anthony Cheen, C-H-E-N-E, Production. And these are interviews with people who had near-death experiences. That's what they're called. They really died, so they really are death experiences, but they revived. And what they report happens on the other side corroborates my interpretation that you'll find your own words. This is a dream. This is a game. This is a tiny, 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 tiny way to perceive reality. But in real reality, we are nothing but this blissful love that knows it has always been, it will always be. And we are here to play this game of forgetfulness and hide and seek, to challenge ourselves with intense fear of each other and pain and suffering until we love each other as ourself. And then we discover, oh, you're made of the exact same thing I am, which is eternal consciousness. And that enables me to deal with the horrors of life and just the challenges of a personal life of just, you know, being in a physical body and going through the aches and pains of getting older and all that stuff.
I can relate, and I know we are not the same age, Bruce, but I wouldn't be surprised if you and I went to a bar and people thought we're the same age. You look very young. You're youthful.
And you might have a soul older than your chronological years.
Thank you. No. No, you wouldn't believe the naivete that I've demonstrated over the past few weeks, but we can't get into my personal affairs on the podcast. That would be unprofessional. But yeah, I feel like there's somewhere in this conversation something a lot deeper, but I do have trouble with the near-death experience, mostly because I'm a show-me kind of guy, you know, and not that I have any doubts, but I guess I'm yearning for that experience myself, which is troubling, because I don't have a death wish, I don't want to die, but I do, there's something unsatisfying about listening to something like that. An explanation like that, because as much as I can take their word for it and trust that I'm taking a true account of the afterlife, I still need to see it myself to witness it. And, you know, I wonder if it's even possible, I mean, to witness it as a living person. I mean, I'm sure there's rituals or altered states that can come close to it, but still it is one of those difficult intangibles that until you experience it yourself, it's hard to convey to others.
Yeah. And you know, these ideas have improved the quality of my life so much. Allow me to indulge in some advice to someone in your position based on what you just said, which is, You're driving this train. You're driving the train of your life. So, Mark, if you know to try to experience something along those lines, you would have to be open to it, and you would have to run the experiment intentionally. And it might be as simple as, you know, tomorrow morning, or even as, you know, the split second we end this call. You know, God, show me that I'm safe and always will be. Amen. And then proceed expecting corroboration. The promise is it won't be long till something happens that you will have to admit. Now, that's much more than a coincidence. Ta-da!
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you what, I think I've had exactly that a couple times over this summer. One of them I've talked about recently on the show. Car crashed into me, and I don't know if I brought up all the details of this, but there is something concerning that happened to me when I was in my car, and I had the thought, like, geez, you know, I really don't feel comfortable driving this car around anymore. And it had to do with a police officer who attempted to pull me over while he was in his personal vehicle and not wearing his uniform. And it was pretty scary because I'm like, wow, I live in a small town. There's not a lot of oversight. You know, what if this cop has enough power to, like, you know, really fuck with me? And one of the things he said was, oh, I have your license plate, motherfucker. So then, like, weeks are going by and I'm paranoid, like thinking, oh gosh, like, is this, you know, police officer around the corner? And there was one instance a couple days after that event where he did see me drive by him and he followed me. And it was very strange, and I still feel uncomfortable about it. But I think, you know, this higher purpose, this nature of reality where you start to, you know, and I'm not recommending that people take, you know, notes from my story, but because it was a little bit more anxiety driven than anything. But I guess that is a part of manifestation. But anyways, long way of going around the barn to say that I was very concerned about this car I was driving. And then within a week or two of that happening, a car, a Lexus, crashes into me and totals my Honda Civic. And from that point on, I wasn't able to drive my Honda Civic, and I've had a rental car and I'll have a new car soon. So it's almost like, and I've been thinking about getting a new car, and I knew which car I was going to get. And so my dream board, so to speak, even though I do not have a dream board, I say that in jest, but yeah, I don't know. It just feels like the universe, like it made way for that to happen in a very violent kind of way. And I'm kind of trying to take stock of why that happened, I guess. But I think, if anything, that just says a lot about my own personal idiosyncrasies, how I see karma. And yeah, I mean, again, I feel very blessed that I wasn't hurt and the other person who crashed into me wasn't hurt. But at the same time, it was a very big inconvenience that resulted in a pretty big benefit for me. So now I'm like, wow, this was great.
Mark, it's, you know, is the glass half full or half empty? Who decides, right?
Right.
You know, was it meant to be? Did you feel it coming? Did you make it come? Did you make it happen?
Right.
You know. Yeah. And if this was my last day on earth and I really was wearing my spiritual hat, I would say yes, 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 yes. You know, the literature and the lectures that I've seen about this kind of stuff says we create or co-create it all. And love and faith and trust is the key to seeing the magic and ending our own suffering. We're never the victim of anything. We are never the victim of anything, because we're all an emanation of the one thing that exists, eternal love and consciousness. So no other ever does anything to you or me, Mark, because there is no other. You know, the mean cop is also you and me, but just under the hypnosis of the dream of, you know, fear, anger, and competition. It's like dying Jesus on the cross. Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do. They don't know that they're really you and me, like you and me are you and me. And oh well, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and you know what? I don't want to come off like I'm self-hating or blaming myself, but I do feel like there is a certain emotional state that is required to attract that type of reality. And I was probably not in the most positive mind state in the months or weeks preceding. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've had a great summer, but it's been ups and downs. And I don't know. I feel like part of this whole thing is the Honda Civic. I'm like shedding my old skin, you know, and maybe putting some of that anger behind me. And in return, maybe I will drive a little bit safer. Because, I mean, I make it sound like the cop. I guess I didn't really give the full story. I was driving pretty fast, but it was mainly because there was a car chasing me. And it wasn't a cop car, so I didn't pull over or slow down. I was just like, why the hell is this car driving so fast behind me? Let me put some distance between them and I. But I, you know, full honesty, I also probably drive a little bit aggressive, particularly in the morning and particularly when I'm on my way to get coffee. So, yeah, I think I'm culpable at fault, we'll say, in that instance to some extent. But, yeah, it was just interesting timing. And after that, I was very cautious, which is why the car accident was very surprising, because I was driving very cautiously when that happened, and luckily there was a police officer there, and they were able to identify that it was not my fault immediately, which saved me a lot of hassle. But yeah, it just, you know, it was a very, very interesting turn of events. And as I told you before we started recording, yeah, it just feels like the flow, that flow state that you were kind of describing in a moment ago. Although I don't know that you use those words, that's what I would call it. And yeah, just getting into the flow this summer. But, you know, sometimes you get dashed across the rocks, you know, you got to be able to bounce back.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the human ride, the human experience. And all we can do is, you know, is pin the ideal in our mind and remind it to each other. You know, there's an old song, you know, lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll blah, blah, blah. Because there'll come a time when I'm going to need somebody to lean on, you know. So when I'm down, you can remind me the ideals of, hey, Bruce, just have a little faith, go to bed early, things will look different after a good night's sleep. Thank you. Thank you. And then when you're bummed, I can do the same thing, because we have to take turns parenting each other, and we have to learn how to parent ourselves. And we're lucky if we had parents who were good at parenting. And if not, we have to think about, well, what do we want? I want to be happy. How do I make myself happy? You know, and it's about comforting ourselves like a good mom. They're there, everything's okay. Because we all start out as boo-hooing little toddlers. Every little thing makes us, you know, and we're lucky if we have a loving mother who can give us that feminine, nurturing, maternal comfort. There, everything's okay. And hopefully grow up into adults who can remind ourselves and do that to ourselves when we get in a car accident or harassed by some asshole cop, right? And then also show up as a great dad. And according to me, a great dad is the encourager. Mom is the comforter. Dad is the encourager. Come on, hey, I'm going to throw this ball at you and you're going to catch it. Whack. Ah, you can do it. Just keeps throwing the ball until the kid learns how to catch it. And now come do this with me. We have a lot of work to do. We'll make a big mess. We'll clean it all up. We'll tell stories about it tonight. We'll get up tomorrow and we'll do it all over again. We have to be able to motivate ourselves to shower, shave, and go to work.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And boy, do I have motivation this summer. I mean, I've been branching out. I think, you know, to go back to the small business topic, I've started a landscaping company, a screen printing company, an upcycling company. And with this van, I'm going to be flipping antiques. I mean, I'm doing all sorts of new stuff. I'm even bringing it into the podcast. I don't know if I even mentioned this on an episode that's aired yet, but Bruce, I'm here to tell you, I'm Mystic Mark the Antique Shark. Now, if you have an antique that you'd like to sell to America or the world, email me at myfamilythinksimcrazypodcast@gmail.com. That's not my email. You can abbreviate it at mfticpodcast@gmail.com. Much shorter and easier to spell. But yeah, so yeah, I don't know why I brought that up, but I just like talking to you, Bruce, and I feel like we're just pals. So I kind of have forgotten that we're on the podcast for a moment.
Well, I don't think there's higher praise for a podcast. And I think it might be because we're not on camera.
No.
Because I'm enjoying this in a whole different way. I do podcasts almost every single day between my job and my own personal podcast. I'm always interviewing people, and I'm often a guest on, you know, radio and TV, not TV, but internet news shows all the time.
Right.
And so, but there's something, you know, wonderful about being able to slouch on my desk over the microphone here instead of being staring into the camera. But
well, and it's, yeah, it's more relaxed. It's almost like a phone call back when you had to sit the landline, you know, but yeah, no, I've recorded a lot of episodes like this, and some of the more popular episodes tend to be like this because it's more relaxing for both sides. But I also, it's just mainly because I'm not in my typical recording space right now.
No problema, no problema. Yeah. I feel kind of complete in this conversation. How do you feel?
Yeah, I know we set our sights on an hour, and I think as far as when I hit record, we just hit an hour exactly. So you might be psychic, Bruce.
I have a goddamn good feel of this after all these years. Really, I wasn't looking at the clock. How about
no,
that?
No, I know you weren't, but yeah, that's funny. No, it's always great to chat with you, Bruce. And I think this episode was well-rounded, even though I'm not on camera and I'm in poor sorts with my unorthodox studio here, but it's fine. If I turn my camera on, you'll see in
oh, you can't. Oh, yeah.
I'm in somewhat of an unfinished room right now, but it's okay. That's part of why I'm here to help turn this house around. But yeah, it's been a very interesting few months. And I said to myself, you know, I got to book some guests that I'm going to have a nice time talking to. Sometimes it's stressful to interview a new person. And so I thought, you know what, let me go through my Rolodex, so to speak. And Bruce, you were one of the first names that came to mind. So thank you for taking some time to join me. Now, I know that you were doing the podcast with Chris Milligan. Are you still doing that, even though you no longer are working with Trine Day on it? Or do you have your own podcast now? I'm confused.
I have my own. Chris keeps doing his. A guy named Adam Finnegan, who wrote a great book, has took over my marketing chores for Chris. Oh, so they okay. still do. Yeah, they still do the Journey podcast, and folks should go to trinday.com. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and full disclosure, I haven't tuned into the Journey in a while, but yeah, otherwise I would have known. But tell me about your podcast before we wrap up, and that'll be front and center in the episode description so the audience can go and subscribe and follow up with your show. Tell us about it.
Thank you. Thank you. After I finish just trinday.com, folks should find the podcast there because Chris has interviewed 150, 180 of his authors about all those great books that they've written. Each episode's about 30 minutes, and it's such a great curriculum of everything under the sun, hit, you know, behind the scenes. It's such an eye-opening journey into reality about all these good and bad things that we've been talking about. My podcast is primarily on Rumble. It's on all the audios, but I like the videos on Rumble. It's called Reality with Bruce DeTauris. You search that on Rumble. Reality with Bruce DeTauris, you will find it. And on YouTube, American Small Business League, you'll find the podcasts that we're doing where Lloyd and I interview each other. He's the founder of our organization. And I'm also interviewing candidates for Congress, trying to teach them our small business issues and encouraging them to run on all those things I told you at the beginning of the show, Mark. And a lot of them are getting very excited about it, so it's pretty fun. And again, to learn about my book, BruceDeTauris.com.
Wonderful. Wonderful, Bruce. Yeah. All that is linked in the episode description. And I'm hoping that your move across the country went well and that you're settling in nicely over there. And who knows, maybe with my new ride, I will plan to visit you on my nationwide tour when the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast goes on a nationwide tour We'll definitely make a stop for you, Bruce, in California.
I'm in Sonoma County, about an hour north of San Francisco.
Rock on. Wow. Yeah, that's where it starts to get dicey up further north from you, Mount Shasta and all the strange things that have gone on up there. We've done a few episodes talking about Northern California, but you're just on the precipice of NorCal, I guess, right? Because San Francisco wouldn't really be considered Northern California, would it?
Most people think it is. No, you're absolutely right. It's central. It's right in the middle.
Right.
But above it is a lot of wilderness, but it's pretty crowded right here still, about an hour north. But come
Yeah.
out. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I've never been west of the Rocky Mountains myself, so I will make a
Yeah.
pilgrimage eventually, and you're one of the many friends that I've made that live all over the country. So it's going to be quite the journey to couch surf
Yeah.
with my van. Maybe I'll even have a couch in the van and I'll just couch surf in my van. And I won't even need to trouble you for a couch. I'll just come over for dinner, and the next thing you know, my van will pull off the next morning.
Do it while you can. And also all your different business ventures. That is so classically American, early American. Best success in everything to you.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I say it, with very, I don't know, liberty, I guess, because I don't think that any of my businesses are technically legit. But let's just say I'm a jack of all trades, and it all fits under the Mystic Mark Jack of All Trades LLC. So maybe Bruce and I could talk more about that, and who knows, maybe old Trump Daddy will send us a federal contract and the podcast will be sponsored by the US government. That'll be amazing.
See, the miracles just keep appearing.
Oh, that's so fun. Well, in all seriousness, I encourage you to keep up that fight with the American Small Business League, Bruce, because what that represents is incredibly important, and any progress made is a step in the right direction. So, yeah, I'm fully supportive of that, and really glad to hear that's what you're spending your valuable time doing. So, Bruce, thanks again for joining me. Your podcast is linked in the episode description and along with your book and the American Small Business League for folks who are interested in anything Bruce has mentioned today, including Trine Day. It's all linked in the episode description. Use your eyes, find it, help us out, support Bruce, support the show. And until next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Bruce DeTauris, a friend of mine. He's been on the show in the past, and I owe the audience a big apology. We normally do a Halloween episode, but I've been so busy with my other projects that I have not been able to stick with this recording schedule. But guess what? I've got a new van. We're rocking and rolling in the new van. Everything is moving smoothly. And I think the podcast is just about to turn over a new leaf. So take this as a sign of great things to come, folks. And put some faith in your buddy old Mystic Mark. I'm still here. I haven't forgot about you. And Bruce DeTauris is one of my good podcast friend, someone who I've had off-air conversations with more than once, and yeah, real nice guy. So go and check out his new podcast, give it a follow. Look into the American Small Business League if you're interested in supporting their cause. I think you should be. And yeah, that's all for me, folks. I'll be back very soon with an episode this week, another episode this week, I promise. No false promises this time. We will have two episodes out each month. Or each week this month. So that should be 8 or 9 altogether. But we're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. I promise. All right. Awesome. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode. Until then, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now.